Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Roger Lilly, who is an energy analyst. Good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Thank you for inviting me to your show, and good morning to all your listeners. I'm very well, thank you. You are too.
I am indeed. But this seems like very good news, doesn't it?
Let's analyze it a little more in detail.
Okay.
Firstly, do we want a coal-fired power station in the middle of a residential environment? We have Edenvale on the one side, and we have Kempton Park on the other side of a coal-fired power station. And we know the dangers of coal being burnt, especially at old power stations, where the necessary screening doesn't take place. And so we have all these noxious gases going into the atmosphere and tiny coal particulates being emitted into the air, which end up in people's lungs, which obviously is a major health concern. Mm.
But we will have electricity.
But we will have electricity. Yes. Sick people will be able to see that they're sick.
Right. Exactly. They'll be able to be sick in a light. I mean, it's better than being sick in the dark. No, seriously, obviously, from an environmental point of view, you're saying not so ideal. But just before we even go there, what does a deal like this actually mean?
So it's actually interesting to look at the history of the Kelvin Power Station, because the Kelvin Power Station was established by the city of Johannesburg in 1959, and the construction ended in 1969, and the power station was then switched on and connected to the city of Johannesburg's electricity grid. So it's been their facility until 2001. Johannesburg owned that power station, and all of its electricity was used for the city of Johannesburg. It wasn't shared with the rest of the country. In 2001, the city of Johannesburg realized that the costs of maintaining it and getting the electricity from it was no longer economically viable. And so it sold the power station to a private concern, who 2 years later sold it to yet another private concern, and this went on about five times.
Right.
Because they would hold it for a few years and realize that they can't make it economically viable, and they'd sell it. And so it went on. And eventually what happened was that it was transferred to the banks which had financed the deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it stands at the moment. So it's owned by Nedbank and Investec. It's running, but let me describe it to you. It consists of two very, very old power station units, simply called and Building B. Building A is the older of the two, and it is no longer in operation because the equipment is really, it's not old, it's ancient.
Mm-hmm.
Building B, they obviously spent some money improving it a little bit, so it's still in operation. However, out of the 600 megawatts that it should produce, it only produces about 200. So at the best, City Power is going to get 200 megawatts. Now, that's a lot of electricity. It's about 10% of what the city needs. And yes, it would be a big help in that regard. But it's expensive. That's the other problem. The transportation of coal all the way from the coal mines to Kelvin has increased the cost of the primary energy significantly. And the power station is inefficient, so the cost of the electricity generated is high. They've got a two-year contract.
I was going to say, surely a two-year contract is probably quite good given that, that aspect of it.
Yes. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. And that is that there's a private concern called Novo Energy, who earlier this year, I think in May, announced that they would be spending a few millions converting the power station from coal to natural gas. Now, natural gas is also a fossil fuel, but of course it's significantly cleaner than coal. And what Novo Gas's intentions, as I understand it, that they will import the coal, the gas from Mozambique initially by truck, but in the longer term will connect to a gas line which Sasol owns. So that the primary energy would then not need to be brought in by truck in the longer term, and would not would also not be coal. So those are good advantages. The question in my mind though is two things, and that is a 2-year contract is probably not long enough for the conversion to take place. So it's possible that the city of Johannesburg will continue to burn coal while the transition goes on. So perhaps what will happen is that Novo Energy will convert the old Building A part of the station, which is not in operation presently, into the gas plant, and then switch over electrically so that during the 2-year period, if indeed Novo can do the conversion within 2 years, start supplying Johannesburg with gas-fired power. That would be quite interesting, and what we need to see is what the costs of that conversion would be and what the cost of electricity would be from a gas-fired power station, because it would be the only one in the country.
Isn't the priority at this point, and obviously what you're saying in terms of cost and in terms of pollution and all of these other aspects, obviously those are important points. But at this stage, given where we're at with regard to the impact that power outages is having on our businesses, and given the impact that it's having on our morale, isn't the most important thing to just supply electricity for all of those reasons? And as once that is happening, at the same time, start working on all of the other, maybe more efficient, cleaner, and ultimately more sustainable solutions.
It is indeed, that's vital. I think you know the generation of additional electricity is an absolute must. At the same time, we need to stimulate energy efficiency and really teach users how to use electricity sparingly. A lot of electricity is still unnecessarily used, put it that way, which puts pressure on Eskom. The situation at Eskom is really drastic. I was showing my wife yesterday that the breakdowns in demand, you know, the breakdowns of equipment is now higher than the supply availability. So, you know, that's why we have
those. Explain that to me.
Breakdowns 27,000 megawatts. Demand is 27,000 megawatts, and availability is 25,000 megawatts.
Right.
So we're 2,000 megawatts short at the get-go. So of course we have load shedding. What else can you do?
Right. There's absolutely no option, really, is there?
Yeah. So Eskom is left with no option, and the load shedding that they've been doing at the evenings, like last night, for example, in our area here, we had no power. And they're using the nights to recharge these hydroelectric generating plants that they have in the Drakensberg. And those are storage systems. So what it does is, while they're not giving power to you and I, they're pumping the water back from the lower dam up to the upper dam. So when they need it, they can release it. It runs back down through generators and produces power for us. But it takes more power to pump the water back up than it does. Than that water generates.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, so it's not ideal, but it's an energy storage system, and it does work. It's just not very efficient.
Right.
No, the answer really is to accelerate rooftop solar. You know, across the country, across all public buildings, is a good place to start. Shopping centres and the like, and to connect that into the city's electricity grid. That needs to happen, you know, yesterday. So, and unfortunately, what's happened up until this point, a lot of those installations are privately owned, and the electricity is only used for those people that have, you know, that have made the investment. It's not shared,
right?
And that's primarily because of regulation, which doesn't permit the sharing, or has not permitted the sharing until now, with the change in the amendment to the Electricity Act, which took place about a month ago now, which now allows the sharing of electricity. So the municipalities would really be encouraged, to my mind, to use empty land to put up ground-based solar and start connecting that to their networks.